Well, here I am, the formerly most important person in America. No, George, I suppose I didn't tell them how I got that title, the most important person in America. Hold on, it's time for some... Oh, some tea, excuse me. Well, I do sell tea, George, but not this tea in particular, so you can't accuse me of just selling stuff. Taiwanese red tea with honey. Gotta have that. So I... Listen... Fairtax. Fairtax.org called me up. Well, they wrote me. They said, Jesse, you're one of the only people who's contacted us from your congressman's district. And your congressman, he's the chairman of the Committee on Ways and Means. And so he governs all tax law. He's the most important congressman, and you are one of two people from his district that's even bothered to talk to us. You've got to call your congressman and tell him to look at the fair tax. Well, I had already written my congressman and talked to him about the fair tax. But I asked the fair tax a few questions. I said, what is this that I hear from Huckabee that you're going to be taxing government? I mean, you need to make sure that government doesn't pay taxes. I mean, if government pays taxes, that ends up making everybody else's taxes higher. The entity that does the taxing should not be taxed. That's taxing. But so I asked them about, I said, what's this I hear about the government being taxed? And they gave me this answer. And so I said, hold on a minute. You're not being clear. You say that I'm arguably so important, but you're not being careful to give me an answer. You'll take your time to tell me how important I am to the country. The other guy, whom I also emailed that other guy, he kind of likes what you're doing, which is great. I love the idea of the fair tax. I just want to make sure that governments won't get taxed. And you're not really seriously going after this issue to convince my congressman? And I didn't get an answer. So of the two most important people in America, I'm the dissident, which makes me more important. So by the emails that I got from Fairtax, I am the most important person in America. And when a lobbying group thinks that I know they probably say that to everyone. You're the most. So, I mean, goodness. I mean, if a lobbying group would have every individual believe that they're more important than all of the witches and the wizards in Harry Potter are trying to sell Harry Potter into thinking that he's the most important person. So whatever. But it was a convincing argument. So here I am, I'm straight from Fairtax, the most important person in America, and you're listening to him. And his blank paper that he rattles around to make it sound like he's doing something. So, Taiwan. Now, I said that I don't want to get political on the podcast. And I won't. I put all my political opinions in the Cadence and in the Encore. The political editorials that I write and read. So those are over at symphony.pacificdailytimes.com. And you can... podcast and search for it, and it's in Stitcher and by the way, I got an email this week from Stitcher. George, did you read you did? Okay, he's looking at it now. They get back to you about, aren't they nice, George? Wasn't that cool? That's awesome, isn't it? I asked him to change a dash into a slash in my address for my Stitcher podcast, and they'll do it. Isn't that... Now, there's reasons for it, but Stitcher is, cool, to say the least. Now, where was I? That's right. Taiwan. What happened over here the day after the election? I called up. In fact, I wonder if I mentioned this when I was explaining why I predicted the election map on my Instagram account. But anyhow, it doesn't. I called Taiwan's a few government offices. One of them was a legislator who sits on the Committee of Foreign Affairs. And another one was a friend that I have in a city government, which is kind of translated wrong. It's comparable to a state. It's like I called the state capital, and my friend who bounces around as one bureaucrat off. I've got this friend in the government, and we just talk once in a while, and he keeps bouncing up higher and higher in the government, and we don't talk a lot. But I called and I said, don't be afraid of Trump. See, Taiwan's president called this emergency security meeting. She put all her cards, whatever cards she had, she put those in with Hillary. And the next day, when Trump clearly was the winner, she had an emergency security meeting. Kind of, my best understanding is something of the nature, like maybe kind of ish, don't quote me, like gauging what the political backlash, like what was going to be Trump's retribution against Taiwan for helping his enemy, you know, like that was what they were worried about. And so I called the two offices that I happen to know, and one of them sits on the Committee of Foreign Affairs and the legislature. And I said, Trump is not a vindictive person. He talks tough because he wants people to be their best. He's not angry. I know this. And I also said, he's a businessman, which means he's quick to forgive. He'll be glad. He wants to work with Taiwan. I also said he doesn't want TPP, but he'd love to have trade with Taiwan. I haven't heard him say that, but I know who Trump is, and I knew that he would want trade with Taiwan directly. So I said he'd be glad to trade directly with you. He just doesn't want TPP because that gives up national sovereignty. And I said another thing that they really liked. Because they're worried about China. They were worried that Trump was gonna go with China because Trump's a businessman who wants money from China. That's what they were thinking in Taiwan. And I said, no, Trump's already said bad things about China for manipulating their currency. Trump has said a lot of bad things about China. And I said, Trump doesn't see China as the enemy. I explained that. But I said, remember, and realize I'm having to. Their English isn't so wonderful and my Mandarin isn't so wonderful. So I'm having to speak in simple, simple terms. Okay. You got to get this. I would never say this to other people, but so that they could get my drift to calm them down. I said, you know, the proverb, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I said, okay. I said more than Trump is going to be mad because you supported his political opponent when you don't even know about American politics. Trump doesn't like China. He wants friendship, but he's got problems with them. So he's going to be with you guys. Trust me. It's okay. I said, have peace. Calm down. So the aide said, okay, I got to go tell the boss right now. Ran in the next room to go tell the legislator. And my other friend said, one of my classmates from college is the press spokesman for the president. Or I don't know, press, some type. I don't even know. The speaker or something. I don't know. I couldn't make out the mantra. But anyhow, so he says, I'm going to call him and make sure that the president learns. And what do we wait? We're reading here in the paper. Look, it's at the symphony. It's linked in the encore. And it go read it. It's good. Anyhow, you heard it from me first, folks. Not just the election, but I was the one. It was me. Not only the most important person in America, but the most important person in Taiwan and all of Asia, for that matter. I suppose I should probably talk about the pilgrims now and get to the point. I was going to say this last week, but I just, capitalism was the pilgrims' first discovery. Having only a few hundred people, there was no economic powerhouse to delay a failing economy's consequences. For them, surviving required prospering. But embracing prosperity wasn't their challenge. As saints among non-Bible-thumping strangers, as they were both called, the pilgrims had to learn to work. God wouldn't just make food spring up out of the ground, not since Eden. Perhaps they missed that lesson from Genesis. Coming from feudalism's tyranny, economically speaking, the pilgrims were children. Communism seemed good to them, but the lesson of capitalism is simple. We can share, but only after prospering. And that's the point. I'm Jesse Steele, jessesteele.com.